there. Welcome to Fearlessly Becoming. I'm Stephanie, and this week we are on the second modality of our mini series with Miranda. We focus in on the emotion code today, and I won't go into too much detail because that's obviously the point of the podcast. But last week we spent time on SRT, and if you have not had a chance yet to check in on that episode, don't worry, it's still there. You can check it out. And this week it's the emotion code. So throughout our life, through different experiences from birth, different emotions can get trapped and stuck in our physical body if we don't process them. And so I learned today about a lot of emotions that were stuck in my physical body. Some of them were more surprising than others, but it was a really beautiful process to walk through. And I feel like I walked away with the ability to tie some vivid memories and experiences from my childhood to actual emotions and help release those instead of those stories kind of living rent-free and knowing that those are connected to different emotions that are also living rent-free in my body. It was a really interesting process, and I wanted to stay on for as long as possible to try and get all of the stuck emotions out of my body. But as it turns out, we did not have enough time for that. So more work to be done as usual, but I hope that you enjoy this episode. I'll do another recap at the end, just with some reflections, but that's enough of me. Let's get into it. So did you listen to yesterday's episode or not? Just not the first one?
I have not listened to any episode.
You're so funny.
But I'm like, movie stars do that. They make movies and they don't ever watch it. So maybe I'm like that, or maybe, yeah. Maybe I will. And yeah, James is like, I can vet it for you. He's like, I can listen to it. I don't know what I did to my light, but apparently it does not want to work now.
Did you get the kids to school today?
They don't start till tomorrow.
Oh, where did they go?
They're at Norris.
Norris. Okay. Yes, yes.
Yeah. How did the first day go for you guys?
So Kinley had first day of high school yesterday. Just, I am still like, it's been a big week. She turned 15 on Sunday. We went and got learner's permit on Monday. And then Tuesday was first day of high school. And today is the first day with like upperclassmen.
Everybody.
And so she did text me. She's like, Mom, we get to have our phones at lunch. It's like, amazing.
So I love this for you. Thank you for texting me.
Yes. And she's like, how many times did you cry?
How many times did you cry?
The total tally ended up, it was either 5 or 6. I kind of lost count. When I posted the poll, it was 3.
Okay, I guessed 5.
Okay. So I did end up more in the 5 realm, because after that, I left the grocery store and just had like a moment in the car between the grocery store and home. And then I got home and there was like this video of all animals, just animal moms and their babies.
Oh,
that made me sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked about this in a different episode too. It's like, I always tell my kids, every end of the school year, every beginning of the school year, it's emotional. And there's, like we talk about all the time, like there's duality in everything. And yeah. I am so excited that they're going into a new year with new experiences, and they're growing, and you see totally different sides of them and the way that they're maturing into who they're going to be as an adult. That is so exciting and so fun to watch. And also, it's another year that's going to fly by.
Yeah.
And I love my babies. That is hard to watch because I want as much time with my babies as I can get.
Yeah.
Like, so every year, every end of school year, beginning of school year, I'm like, it's emotional.
All right. Well, my notebook is missing and that's okay. Everything is working out perfectly. Just as
it's how it's supposed to go. This is how this is going to go.
Yeah, but we'll go through the process. Like, you actually getting to experience the emotion code, I think, is going to be really cool. And that's where I was like, because I'll be doing muscle testing. And so I'll just make sure that I'm also saying what is happening in the process.
I had a lot of people reach out about yesterday's episode.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me about feedback or what you've gotten.
And I had some people reach out yesterday, and because I left in the actual movements and the breathing, yeah. But I marked them as chapters so that if people didn't want to sit and listen to 8 minutes of it, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
But I left it in so that you could listen to it, but also tune in at the end of each of them because we recap.
Yes.
And I had some people reach out and say, I listened to all of it and I did the breathing along with you.
Which I should have included because anybody on the other end could do what we're doing and they could potentially get the benefits from it.
And that's exactly, they're like, I felt lighter after it. And so I think it was good for people to kind of hear that. There, one of my friends reached out and she was like, it absolutely broke my heart when you were talking about, like, there's nothing special about me. And I'm like, this is the thing though, is I know there are special things and I know everybody has special things, mm-hmm. but it's like, there's something in there that's...
It's our inner critic.
Yeah.
Like our inner critic is critical and judging. And so that's part of the work that we do too, is getting in there and identifying what is your deepest inner critic. We call them dicks.
I love this.
What's your dick? What's your deepest inner critic? And identifying what is the loudest one? Because I think there's all sorts of. We have our inner critic, but then I think we also have the voice of like our parents in our head, or the voice of that teacher, or you know, just even societal stuff. It's not necessarily a person, but there's kind of that voice inside our head too. There's gender, like a gender voice.
And I talk about it at the end of the episode. I did like a little recap after like our stuff, because one of the ones we hit on was needing help, asking for help, but not wanting help, like that whole tricky situation. And for the last 6 days, now I have required a lot of help because I have been in pain for 6 days. And what I learned is that when I am in the moment, like on Friday, when I could not breathe and I could not drive, I have no problems with my friends being like, we're taking you to the emergency room. Like, we're going to take care of you. We're going to get you there. And like, they stayed with me the whole night. That I don't have a problem with. That kind of help I'm here for.
Yeah.
But then the next day when people are like, I'm going to DoorDash you some meals, I'm like, I don't love this. Cause like I can DoorDash meals for myself. Like I don't need, you know what I mean? It's like, that is not something that I technically require help on. I can push the buttons and have them sent to my house.
there is some subconscious, like that is, can be like subconscious blocks too. Cause it's like, how do you receive compliments?
Yep.
Do you deflect them or do you like embrace them and take them in? So it also is, it's a part of receiving. It's being open to being receptive and open to receiving.
Yes. And I think this whole thing, because then even just the other night, Monday night into Tuesday, which is why we rescheduled, I was up all night, just like severe pain. I thought I was passing another stone. One of my friends came over that Monday night and she's like, let me clean your kitchen. Like, let me just, because I had made some dinner. She's like, you go lay on the couch. Let me clean your kitchen. And I only fought her once. I was like, no. She's like, Stephanie. And I'm like, you're right. I need to go lay down.
Yeah.
But I'm what you did helped. And I think the universe gave me the prime opportunity to practice it.
Yeah.
And I did it over the weekend. I proactively reached out to people who had said, hey, let me know if I can do anything. I'd be like, would you mind grabbing me dinner? Mm-hmm. They're like, yes, let me love you. And part of this is helping me drop the walls that are around my heart, around receiving and being open to love and being open to receiving all of that, so that when my person does come in, I don't have those walls super high. This is good practice for me.
Yeah. It's so ironic that you say heart wall, because that is literally one of the things that we can work on with the emotion code, is that there are, when we trap emotions within, they get trapped within our physical body. So they have, we can be more susceptible to injury, or if we already have an injury, that can become a place that our emotions get stored. But another place they get stored is around our heart. And so there is an energetic emotional heart wall that we can work on clearing. And maybe that's what we work on today, because you can, with the emotion code, you can release emotions that are blocking you from things. So like if you have a goal that you're working towards, you can release emotions that could potentially be blocking you from that. It can be physical things. So the other thing was like, you know, maybe do we want to clear any emotions that were contributing to your gallstones or your, yeah, was it gallstone or kidney? Kidney. So it can be those physical things. You have neck pain, back pain, that sort of thing. So you can clear trapped emotions that can be contributing to the physical things. You can have, you can clear mental, emotional things. You can keep it general, mm-hmm, or on your heart wall.
Heart wall.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome. Because I think that's something that, not just in romantic relationships, mm-hmm, but in my friendships and other connections too, I definitely have this ability to, I get close to people and then it's like the wall gets up and you're not going to get any closer. It's going to be, I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to make sure that I don't get too involved or too close or too vulnerable, because then I don't get hurt.
Yeah. And the other thing I like about clearing the heart wall emotions is it's a two-way street. So not only are you blocking things from necessarily coming in, it's also blocking things that are going out.
Yep, absolutely. I can feel, yeah, that.
Do you have any questions about anything before we kind of just get into it?
So the SRT was all about the subconscious and releasing different narratives and kind of trapped stories there. Yeah. The emotion code, is it basically the same thing just on the emotion level?
It is very similar. So again, I have another chart that you go through and you muscle test, and we kind of start with a general question. So since we're going to do the heart wall for you, it's going to be, is there a trapped emotion that can be released now that is a part of your heart wall? And so that will be the question that I use, and I'm looking for a yes or a no answer. Within that, there are six potential types of trapped emotions. So okay, it can be common. So common are just our everyday emotions that we go through, that we generate within ourselves. There's absorbed emotions. So absorbed emotion is, I view them almost like the empathetic emotion. So it's not your emotion that you generated, but it was from it, you absorbed it from somebody that you were in the vicinity of as they were having an emotional experience. You took that emotion on and absorbed it yourself. There's shared emotions. This one's less common, but if you were, say, in a car accident or a traumatic event with somebody and you guys both had the same emotional experience, you guys can have a connected shared emotion. Mm-hmm. What's cool about shared emotions, and then what the next one is, when you release a shared emotion, you are potentially also releasing it for the other person as well, if their subconscious is open to releasing it.
That's so interesting. I just got chills. That's so, yeah, interesting.
So the next one is inherited emotions. So these are our biological emotions that are passed down to us through our lineage. They can go back. I've seen up to 23, I think, is the farthest back I've gone, generations. And same thing, you can clear it from that lineage, that line, when you release it on yourself. So anybody in that line that also carries that trapped emotion, you're releasing for them again if they're open to receiving it. So that also means passing down to your kids. So if you have an inherited emotion, your kids, not saying that they will, but they could potentially also carry that trapped emotion with them. So I love when inherited emotions come up because they're just so fascinating. prenatal ones. Those are ones that when we're in the womb, mm-hmm. they can kind of be absorbed. They can come from mom, dad, or just we experience them pre-birth. And then the rarest is preconception. And so our soul or spirit could potentially have trapped emotions that come with us into our existence before we're conceived. That one, I don't know if I've ever seen a preconception, but they do exist.
The one thing that keeps coming up as you're going through this list is the birth of my boys, both of them being so traumatic and so early. I feel like there's so much trapped emotion that's probably tied in with that. And with Hux especially, I think that would be one that could potentially be interesting from a preconceived, because I do think that just with the circumstances of his delivery and how traumatic it was and how near death he was when he was brought into the world, that I think there's something that he carried in from either a past life or something on a soul level that came in hot with him.
And what we learned is, so in that instance, we could do a session separately for him specifically related to, are there trapped emotions that can be released related to his birth specifically? When we go through and we're muscle testing the list, your subconscious is going to deliver it in the order that they need to be released. So sure. I'm not necessarily, searching for the preconceived, but it will come in the order that it's meant to be released.
It needs to be. That absolutely makes sense. When you work on the emotion code, is this something that can be done with kids?
I've done this on my girl. I do this for my girls. I've cleared all my family's heart wall emotions. Those don't typically clear in one session. I think on average, it was anywhere from 5 to 10 sessions where I worked through those for most people. You can do this on kids, and they don't necessarily need to be here. As your parent, as their guardian, you could give permission for that to be done.
I was wondering how that would work if there are questions that they need to answer, but they're not quite sure or aware.
Yeah. On your end, on the other person's end, there's not really a whole lot that needs to be done. And it's just so interesting to see kind of what comes up. Because like I said, I muscle test the list. So I'm figuring out what is the first trapped emotion that's in your heart wall. And then sometimes we need to know additional information. So like your age, the age in which that emotion was trapped. Sometimes that's all we need to know to be able to release. Sometimes it is it related to a life event? Is this family related? Is this friend related? Is it work related? Is it school related? I try and keep it very general, and usually just knowing if it's friend or family related, that's enough to kind of clear that emotion out as well. So
that's amazing.
Now in a one-on-one session, we might be, okay, we just released this trapped emotion of bitterness at the age of 16, and you might have a memory come to mind of that experience. And then within the coaching session, we could dig into that and coach and maybe do some more SRT on some of the thoughts and beliefs that maybe arose from that situation. So it's so kind of, I love being able to use all these different tools and mold them and melt them and make them what we need them to be within a coaching session. And that's what I love about one-on-one coaching, is it's never the same. It's not this blueprint that I'm showing up with each session. It is very much intuitively guided between, it's like a co-creation with the other person.
It feels really fluid, and that it's not you will resonate with this one the most. It's like a collection of tools and things that can be leveraged, which feels just very holistic. What's your favorite thing about the emotion code?
I love using this. I don't necessarily use it on myself all the time. It's more like I'll wake up with my neck hurting, like I slept wrong, and I can use the emotion code. And not saying that it makes all of that physical ailment go away, but I do feel like it clears faster when I do these things. Or when the girls are sick, can I release any trapped emotions when they're not feeling well that could potentially, be contributing to some of it? I think I don't ever look at it like emotions is the thing and it's the physical stuff that's the thing. I feel like it's all multifaceted. And so having tools that are emotionally kind of connected and metaphysically and kind of spiritually, I feel like it helps so much. It just helps support the whole being.
Excited.
Yes, me too. Okay, so we're going to work on your heart wall today, which is going to be so much fun. Can you share with me your age?
I am 41.
You're 41. Did you have to think about it?
I did.
I feel like after 40, it's like...
Wait. For like 43 came to mind, and I'm like, I'm not 43. I'm like, I'm 41.
You're 41.
Pretty sure. Yeah, I'm 41.
That's awesome. No, I do the same. Like, I started probably after 35. It was like, I turned 35, and then it was like, we're just here.
Yeah, and in my head, I'm no older than 26. So give me whatever number you want, I guess.
For this case, for this instance, we do want your real age.
For this one, I guess I'll be honest. I am 41.
Okay, so it's just going to really be me just kind of going through a series of questions. And now after each one of these, I will, since we are on this call, I will ask you if there's anything that comes to mind. Know that if nothing comes to mind, how many emotions do you experience during the day that you aren't even fully aware of? So if there's an emotion that we clear and it comes up and you're like, I have no clue what that is, that's pretty common. And also, you might be like, I know exactly what that's related to.
Do people feel things in their bodies during the clearing? Like, how do we know if something's been cleared?
For me, it's just trusting. It's just a trust. Now, I have had a few where somebody's had a physical ailment and then we did the session and like later that day, they like felt differently or they felt more ease in their body or less pain or something like that. So it just really, again, kind of like with SRT, it's so varied that you just never really know how it's going to present itself.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So is there a trapped emotion that can be released now from Stephanie's heart wall? And I got a yes with the muscle testing. So now I'm going to go through and there is with this, it's kind of a column A. Well, wrong side. So I will figure out the type of trapped emotion first, and then we'll figure out the actual emotion. And then we'll see if there's any additional information that we need in order to be able to clear it.
Okay.
Okay. So is the type of emotion, is it in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? It's in column B. Is it odd, even? It's even. Is it 2, 4, 6? So it is in B6. So is it pride, shame, shock, or unworthy? So the first one that came up is unworthy.
This does not surprise me.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm just going to ask, is there any more information that we need to know before it can be cleared? And it's saying yes. So the first thing I start with is your age. So to figure out the age in which this is trapped, I'm going to start with, was this trapped before the age of 20? Yeah. So I kind of like half it to kind of like speed up the process a little bit. Yeah. So was it trapped before the age of 20? The answer is yes. Was it trapped before the age of 10? The answer is yes. Was this trapped before the age of 5? No. So 5, 6, 7, 8. So this heart wall emotion of unworthy was trapped at the age of 8. Is there anything that comes to mind?
I'm trying to think. I mean, the very first thing that came to mind was 8. I was probably in third grade. That's the year that I lost my grandma on my dad's side. But I wasn't like super close with her.
That's okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and ask now, is there anything else that we need to know before it can be released? And so the answer is no. So now this heart wall emotion of unworthy that was trapped at the age of 8 can be released. So with the emotion code, what we're doing is we're swiping down the governing meridian. So in Chinese medicine, there's a governing meridian that runs kind of I don't know the specific like start and stop, but where we're swiping is kind of over the forehead and over the back of the head, kind of down to the neck. You can use the palm of your hand or a magnet. This is all with intention that we are releasing it. As we're swiping, that energy is being released down the governing meridian. So you just need to swipe it 3 times. And then I'll ask, did we release the trapped emotion heart wall of unworthy at age 8? And the answer is yes. So you just
felt it as you were doing the magnet, I felt, mm-hmm. I still have chills. I felt little warm thingies.
Nice.
Floating in my body.
And everybody, I do feel like you are so in tuned with things that you might feel things easier than somebody who's maybe not as attuned to their emotions or kind of being tapped into some of those things. And that's okay.
I'm so curious. And I'll probably spend some time reflecting on this after the fact too. Mm-hmm. Because at age 8, and I don't want to try and force something. There's no narrative that
it's
I can.
If it's not an automatic, it's okay. You don't need to know the information in order for it to be released. It was released.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it makes me feel sad for that 8-year-old.
I also think of when I'm going through and releasing trapped emotions, because a lot of times it is younger ages that come up versus some of our more recent ages. And I do think that probably has a little bit to do with just our ability to process emotions at those mm-hmm. ages. Because that is how emotions get trapped. If we're not processing our emotions, then they stay within us. And I think if we just don't necessarily know how to do that, you know, if you feel the need to cry and you stop yourself from crying, that's one way that you're not necessarily releasing that emotion that could potentially get trapped in your body. If you're mad and you stuff it down, that can get trapped in your body. So it's just, I don't think we necessarily have the tools at those younger ages. And I have to remind myself when we're looking at these younger ages too, because sometimes you'll see an emotion and it'll be a young age, like 2 or 3, and you'll see the emotion that's attached to it. You also have to remember what would create that emotion at that age. It's probably going to be a lot different than what creates these emotions at an older age.
Sure. Right. Because life gets more complicated and complex as you get older.
Yeah, because some of the emotions are shock or terror, things like that. And if that comes up at a young age, well, what would be terrifying at the age of 2 or 3? I think sometimes it can be so easy to jump at something kind of almost really traumatic, but could it be something really simple at that age as well that could have created that emotion?
Right, like you tripped and fell down 2 concrete steps on the porch.
That's terrifying.
Yes.
I think that's terrifying as an adult still.
I'm aware.
Like you're going to lose it like a permanent tooth.
Yes. These are things that I did not realize until my boys started to get permanent teeth. I'm like, y'all can't fuck up your faces.
Yeah.
Keep these babies intact.
Yeah.
Okay. So with the release of that, is there anything that I need to do?
Okay. So later today, I almost treat energy work as body work. So if you go get a massage, you can be flushing out toxins. And so sometimes energetic work, I don't necessarily feel this way, but you could potentially maybe have a headache or just that feeling of almost fatigue. Like sometimes you can almost have the remnant of that emotion kind of come up as we go through it, usually within 4 hours, but you know, rest if you need to rest, drink water, drink fluids. That's still, even though it's energy work, it's still a good way to like flush out, you know? So just whatever you feel called to do to support yourself today. And a lot of times I do this and it's like, I can go about my day and it's just very like normal. You can go about your day like normal. So. Okay.
And then I'm sure I'm jumping ahead and I'm sure you're going to get there. So my apologies if I'm asking too many questions. Are there more emotions attached to the heart wall that we're working through? Or was that like...
That was just the first... No, that was the first one. So we will keep going.
You're not done.
No. Because I will ask, we'll just keep going. Is there another trapped emotion that can be released now that is built up your heart wall? And the answer is yes. And so, you just keep going through that process until you get a no. And oftentimes you will get to a point where you only maybe process 20 emotions within that session. And it's kind of like, oh, we're done for today. And then it's, are there more that need to be processed? Yes. Do I need to do it at another time? And then you get yes. So you kind of go through that process as well. Okay. Your body will only release what it wants today.
What it's ready to release right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes that could be 5 emotions. And okay, we're done at 5 today, and we'll come back in 1, 2, 3, 7 days and see if we're ready to do that again.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So is there another trapped emotion that can be released from Stephanie's heart wall? And the answer is yes. So is this type of emotion, is it in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is the type of the specific emotion, is it in column A? Yes. Is it odd, even? So it's A and it's even. So is it in 2, 4? So is it anger, bitterness, guilt, hatred? So hatred is the one that comes up next. Do we need to know more before it can be released? The answer is no. Since we're on a call, do you want to know the age in which that was trapped, or do you just want
to? I would love to.
You want to know the age? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 10? No. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 15? Yes. So 10, 11, 12, 13 is when this trapped emotion in your heart wall of hatred was trapped. Anything in particular come to mind?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind doesn't necessarily feel like hatred, but maybe, I mean, that was the age where a really good friend of mine called me and told me that I was not popular enough for them to be friends with them anymore. And that was that.
I'm sure there was probably a multitude of emotions that came with that phone call. Mm-hmm. And so I can see how very easily like hatred could be in that mix. Usually your mind will bring forth what it is that it needs to in those situations. Mm-hmm. You ready to release it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so 1, 2, 3. Did we release the heart wall emotion of hatred at age 13? And the answer is yes. Anything that time?
Felt it more in my chest.
Okay.
Yeah, it was more like pressure than anything else.
All right, well, we're just gonna keep rolling, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so is there another trapped emotion that can be released from Stephanie's heart wall now? And the answer is yes. So is the type of emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? No. Is it absorbed? Okay, so we have our first different kind of emotion. It's an absorbed emotion. So that was the one that was like the one I relate to almost the empathetic. Somebody else was experiencing the emotion and you absorbed that emotion as they were having their emotional experience.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So now we'll figure out the specific emotion that was trapped. And so was this emotion in column A? Yes. Is it odd? Yes. Is it in 1, 3, 5? Is it blaming, dread? So the trapped emotion, the absorbed trapped emotion is dread. Do we need to know more? Yes. So was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 10? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 5? Yes. So 1, 2, 3 is when this emotion was trapped. Do we need to know more? And the answer is no. So we just needed to know that it was an absorbed trapped emotion of dread at the age of 3.
Interesting. I have full body chills right now.
Let's release it. So I'm going to swipe 1, 2, 3. Did we release the trapped emotion of dread? Yes. Okay. Ready to keep going?
Yep.
Okay. Is there another trapped emotion that can be released now that is in Stephanie's heart wall? Yes. Is the type of emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? It's in column B. Is it odd, even? It's even. So is it 2, 4? Is it depression, frustration, indecisiveness, panic? So panic is the next one that comes up. Do we need to know more? Yes. Okay. So was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 10? Was this emotion trapped before the age of 15? Yes. So 10, 11, 12 is when this trapped emotion of panic. Anything come up?
No.
No. And that's
okay. I have this weird thing where like the majority of my childhood just feels very blank. If there are certain moments that stick out, the majority of my childhood feels very empty.
And I don't know if that's a common thing because I tend to be that way too. Or I have a tendency to see just the not great parts. And so I sometimes have to actively seek out. And I do think that there is, I mean, we do have a negative bias. So it is, I took a class once, or not a class, it was actually when I was in photography. It only takes so many seconds for a negative experience to imprint. It takes almost a full minute for a positive experience to imprint.
Oh, wow.
So you have to be more present in a positive experience for it to imprint versus a negative experience to imprint.
Be present, everybody. Right? Gotta be real intentional.
Yes. And that's where doing some of the mindset work and some of the other things that we do, we are really priming our brain to see things differently because our brains are automatically wired to seek out the negative. It is part of our primal brain because that was part of our survival brain.
Makes sense.
Okay. So shall we release that panic at 12?
Yes, we shall.
Yes, we shall. Let me double check. Is there anything else that we need to know? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. So 1, 2, 3. Did we release the panic at age 12 that was in Stephanie's heart wall? Yes. Okay.
Just knocking down brick by brick.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Is there another trapped emotion that can be released now that is in Stephanie's heart wall? Yes. Is the type of emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? It's in column B. Is it odd? No, it's even. Okay. Is it 2, 4, 6? Is it pride, shame? Is the next one that comes up.
There she is. There she is.
And I will also say, too, you can have multiple of the same emotion within your heart wall. You might have another unworthy or another shame because we have different emotional experiences throughout. Like, you could have another unworthy at the age of 20 that is also in your heart wall. So if we happen to get to that point to where maybe you see the same emotion more than once, just know that that is possible because how many times have we felt that emotion throughout our lifetime? Now, not every one of them gets put into our heart wall, but it is possible.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I've had that happen in sessions where it's shown up two, maybe three max within a session where the same emotions come up. Usually it's around two. But yeah, that's just another thing to kind of note that it can be normal to see the same emotion multiple times. And I do think the more we feel emotions, the more it creates an automatic response to that emotion. It's almost like we've created a super highway where we've run that path so many times.
It's like so familiar and hard-coded. It's like, this one makes sense.
So that's why we have a tendency to see certain emotions come up more than others for us, is because we've experienced that path a lot quicker or more often. Okay. Is there anything else that we need to know about the shame? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 10? No. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 15? No. Okay. So 15, 16, 17 is when that emotion was trapped. Do we need to know more? And the answer is no. Is there anything that pops up that no?
And that's okay. I mean, 17 is a weird age anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a funky time of life. I really, at 17 especially, truly did not know who I was and would be anyone for anybody. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And so I could see how shame could be a layer in that, of feeling shame for myself because I don't have the confidence to be who I am. I'll just be whoever you want me to be.
Yeah.
That could potentially layer in there.
I could see that.
But no, sure. Like, specific experience that, like, kicks in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's swipe it. 1, 2, 3. Did we release a trapped emotion of shame at 17? And the answer is yes. Anything there?
No. I was very... That one brought up some emotion. Like, I could feel it in my chest, and if I sat in it, would cry.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. You want to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there another trapped emotion that can be released now that is in Stephanie's heart wall? Yes. Is the type of emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? Column B? It's in column B. Is it odd? Even? It's even. Is it 2, 4? So it's in B4. Is it depression, frustration, indecisiveness is what comes up next. Is that something that you resonate with?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just write that down. Okay, do we need to know more about this emotion before it can be released? The answer is yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 10? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 5? No. So 5, 6, so age 7 is when this emotion was trapped. Do we need to know more? Okay, this is our first yes after an age. So is this family related? Is it friend related? So something friend related, age 7, and being indecisive.
Wait, the first thing that comes to mind,
okay,
is a sleepover.
Okay.
With friends. And to me, this is more fear and scared than anything else, but who knows? Picking movies and my inability to weigh in and pick a movie.
Yeah.
This feels so like lame, like so small. This is genuinely the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. Well, and just think of how those experiences that we have at those younger age, how they start to develop who we are and how we show up. So, yes, there could have been fear about that, about probably being able to use your voice and speak up, but being indecisive about picking it. Do you see how that can show up today?
Yes, it's so, yes, I can absolutely see that. And there's also, and we talked about this in the last session, that feeling of the perception of the choice that you do make and making sure that you make the quote unquote right one when we know there's not actually a right answer. It's like, pick a fucking movie. Like, what? And I remember them being so frustrated with me because I was like, I don't, it's like, ugh, fine. Don't ask her. And it's such low stakes. It's a goddamn movie. It's 7-year-olds.
At age 7, when you're at a sleepover with your friends, that's a big deal.
Big deal.
As an adult, we would be like, that's so small. That's so minute. But as a 7-year-old in that experience, in that lived experience, that was probably a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And it was the start of the end of some of those friendships, truly. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Let me just see if there's anything else that we need to know. So is there anything else that we need to know before this emotion can be released now? And the answer is no. So we're just going to swipe it. 1, 2, 3. Did we release a trapped emotion of indecisiveness at age 7? Yes. Okay. All right. Is there another trapped emotion that could be released now from Stephanie's heart wall? Yes. Is this emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? It's in column B. Is it odd, even? It's even. Is it in 2? Yes. So it's in B2. Is it failure, helplessness, hopelessness? So this is a trapped emotion of hopelessness. Do we need to know more? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? No. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 30? No. Was this trapped before the age of 35? So 30, 31, 32.
That's when Hux was born, was 32.
Do we need to know more? The answer is no. But were you feeling pretty hopeless at that age?
Absolutely. That? So much. That whole year or two could be summed up with that word.
I feel emotion like coming up in me as we like is in my nose.
That one's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You ready to release that one?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Do you need to sit for a minute with that one?
Yeah, that's one that I worry got passed on to him through that whole experience, just the things that he carries along with him too. When I talk about those experiences, and especially his, I always tell people, like, I know that there's just so much that is trapped in my body that I have not released. Mm-hmm. But you, in those situations... And I would equate it to any kind of really traumatic experience. So you go into survival mode.
Absolutely.
And you do what you have to do to get through. And then you get to the other side of it, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then you're either so far removed from the experience, or life is so busy, or you just don't want to go back.
Yeah.
To that same hopelessness and that same heavy experience that you just keep looking forward.
Yeah.
But I know so much from both of them, but especially that second one, I know have stayed in my body physically.
And you talk about not wanting to go back because of the heaviness of it, but would you not agree that you carry that heaviness with you because you haven't released it?
Oh, 100%. And I think there's still so much guilt and shame that's still trapped in there too, tied in with that whole experience. Yeah. That there's a probably on the subconscious level, I don't believe this about myself, but there's part of me that feels like that's my burden, that's my weight to carry for not being able to get to term when I do. Like, I know.
You know.
I know. I didn't do anything to cause it. A wild experience.
We can sit here for as long as you need with this one. Okay.
Thank you. And I remember this is what, when we first met in that coffee shop, and I was talking about how so many of these emotions get trapped, and if there's ways that we can connect you with NICU moms, because there is so much that you carry, and then you get past it, and you don't, for whatever reason, don't go back to that experience, and how much of that dictates the course of your life and what you are not tapping into or what you're not releasing and what that's blocking from you.
Yeah. Things that I love about some of the tools that I use, like the emotion code, you don't have to go back into the experience for it to be released. You don't have to go back into it with SRT, but you can bring forth the thoughts that you have about that experience without going back into the experience. Mm-hmm. Will it bring some of that up? It can. It could. And it did a little bit here.
Yeah.
But did you go fully back into that experience by releasing this?
No. And for it coming up? Pieces of it, but not completely slingshotted back. No.
Yeah. So I do think that that's one of the beautiful things about some of these tools is you can use them. You can work on past situations that as we release some of these past emotions and thoughts and beliefs, they do help catapult us into where it is that we're trying to move forward into our futures, our goals that we have, the lives that we're trying to build, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That one felt really good.
Yeah. How do you feel now?
Doing a little scan. I'm good. I feel like there's, like I said in the last one, I'm a very visual person. And so my body, I feel like something just got shattered in a really good way, not in a broken way. But I feel like now there are pieces that I can go back and work through and kind of sweep out. And it just feels, yeah, it feels shattered.
And that's one of, so going back to you and your visualization, I kind of view SRT this way, but especially working with the heart wall. If you think of it, if you visually see this wall, each emotion that we're releasing is taking one brick away at a time. So we're doing it in layers. It's not all at once. It's just one brick at a time. If you think about, we're all carrying this emotional baggage. So we have a backpack that we're carrying on our back that is just full of all these bricks, whether it's our heart wall or these trapped emotions or our thoughts and beliefs. And we're just taking out one at a time, and how much lighter that gets each time you take one of the bricks away.
And I can feel it in the middle of my back too. There's just this openness that feels different. But yeah, that one hit.
Yeah. Beautiful. Whenever you're ready, we can move on to the next one.
I feel good.
Okay. All right. Is there another trapped emotion that can be released now that is contributing to Stephanie's heart wall? And the answer is yes. It's a type of emotion in column A. It's column B. So that's something new. Is it inherited? Yes. I shouldn't get so excited about
it. I'm right. Excited. I'm like, let's dig on this.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So this is our first inherited trapped emotion. So we're going to find out what specific emotion it is. Is this emotion in column A? It's in column B. Is it odd, even? Is it 2, 4, 6? So it's B6. Okay. Is it pride, shame, shock is what comes up. So I will ask, was this inherited from mom, dad? So this was inherited from your dad. And then did he inherit this trapped emotion? And the answer is yes. And did he inherit it from his mom, from his dad? So I'll go back about five. And then once I hit five, I'll just start doing more. Like, does this go back 10 generations and kind of see where it goes? But we'll see where we end up here. So did he inherit this trapped emotion? Yes. Did he inherit it from his mom? Yes. Did she inherit this trapped emotion? Yes. Did she inherit this from her mom? Yes. Did she inherit this trapped emotion? So it goes back. So that would be your, what, great, great, great grandma on your dad's side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
So she was the first one to experience this emotion, and then it's gotten passed down generationally to you.
This is the stuff that I find so fascinating mm-hmm. because, and I can get myself down a rabbit hole real quick on this, but how it gets transferred down generationally, is it them repeating experiences mm-hmm. with their children that create that feeling, or is it just generationally, genetically through birth?
To me, it's through birth. And I would have to go back and look this up specifically, but I think it is more of it's in the DNA at this point. And so it's getting passed down. Now, that could mean that you experience shock in a different way because you're carrying this, or you're just literally carrying this brick that's been passed down to you. Your grandma passed, your great great grandma passed it down to her daughter, who passed it down to her son, who passed it down to your dad, and then your dad passed it down to you. Never really knowing that it's been getting passed down with each generation.
And I think it's interesting that it is the emotion of shock, because I'm trying to, just in my own life, thinking how I handle shock, or if I've really felt that emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just want to look something up here quick. Okay, so inherited trapped emotions are originated by a biological ancestor, and they are received at conception. Some can be many generations old, and multiple relatives may also have. About inherited emotions, they could affect you just like your own stuff. So you often feel extra burdensome or uncomfortable because of them. So there's that. So shock, as they have it kind of laid out, is a sudden or violent disturbance of the emotions or sensibilities, extreme surprise, to feel traumatized or stunned.
Interesting.
All right. You ready to release your first inherited?
Let's do it. Emotion?
Okay. So with inherited and also shared, you swipe them because they are like multiple people. We swipe these 10 times. So okay. I'm going to swipe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Did we release the inherited heart wall emotion of shock? And the answer is yes.
I can feel like this aura around my head. It's like multiple layers thick, but it's white and crystal clear. Mm-hmm. It feels very ancestral. They're here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. That was a big one.
Yeah. All right. So is there another trapped emotion that can be released from Stephanie's heart wall now? The answer is yes. Is the type of emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? Yes. Is it odd? No. Is it even? Yes. Is it 2, 4? Is it anger, bitterness, guilt? You knew that one was coming. Okay. Do we need to know more about this trapped emotion? And it says no, but would you like to know what age this one was trapped?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 10? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 5? Yes. So 1, 2, 3, 4 is when this heart wall emotion of guilt was trapped.
Nothing comes up, but that does make me feel like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, think about my own kids and experiences that I've had with them and what they're probably carrying. But man, at four,
yeah,
to have that guilt brick plopped right into your heart wall, man, that's sad.
It is. And it is part of the human experience to experience the full range of emotions. And again, at the age of four, if you felt guilt, maybe nobody knew what you did, but it was still something that you carried.
Yeah.
Maybe you got into, I mean, this is like the most random, but maybe you got into your mom's nail polish and you filled her nail polish and you felt guilt and, you know, who knows what it was.
So true. Yeah, let's get that bad boy out of there.
All right. One, two, three. Did we release the heart wall emotion of guilt? Yes. Okay. Is there another trapped emotion that can be released now that is in Stephanie's heart wall? Yes. Is this emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? It's in column B. Is it odd? Yes. Is it 1, 3, 5? Is it conflict, creative insecurity? Is it terror? So terror is the next one that comes up. Do we need to know more? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Before the age of 30? Was this trapped before the age of 35? Yes. So 30, 31, 32. And that doesn't really surprise me.
Yep. There it is.
Yeah. Do we need to know more? No. Is there anything in particular that like new that's surfacing for you with that one?
No. I mean, it all ties in with Huxley's birth. There's no question. Like there were so many moments that I was absolutely terrified.
Would you like to release that heart wall emotion?
Yes, please.
1, 2, 3. Did we release the heart wall emotion of terror? Yes.
Yeah, that one. I'm less emotional on that one than the hopelessness. I just think my nervous system took a complete hit during that whole experience, and terror for sure. I mean,
and that could be the reason hopelessness came up before terror, because maybe hopelessness was that main one that carried like the weight of that. And like, yes, there are the other things that are also there, but that could be why that one released first.
Yeah. All right. All out.
All right. Let's do one or two more and then we can kind of wrap. How does that sound? Okay. All right. Is there another trapped emotion that can be released now that is in Stephanie's heart wall? Yes. Is the type of emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? Yes. Is it odd? Yes. Is it 1, 3? Is it crying, discouragement, rejection is the next one that comes up. Okay. Do we need to know more? Yes. Okay. So was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 10? No. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 15? So that is a yes. So 10, 11, 12 is when that comes up. Do we need to know more? So is there anything with rejection kind of around the age of 12?
12 is when, so again, first thing that came to my mind, that was the age that I decided to stop playing competitive soccer. Mm-hmm. And that was my community up to that point. And then after that decision was made, which I overheard my parents talking about the financial burden of it. And then they asked me if I wanted to keep playing, and it was my choice. And I decided not to, even though, like, that was my sport, but decided not to because I didn't want to financially burden my parents. And from all of that, lost friends and the rejection of not being a part of that sport anymore, not being a part of those friends anymore. There was just immediate separation.
What are you thinking of this whole experience right now?
I am loving it. And I think it's really pushing me to reflect a little bit more on tying experiences to emotions instead of just having these experiences live in my orbit. It's almost like there's a tether to it now, and it can live in its own place instead of overwhelming my narratives, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Just another, sometimes I don't always do this when I'm doing SRT, but the whole tether thing made me think of it. Sometimes we do use that visual when we're doing SRT, when we are doing the releasing statement of the emotion to that thought. Sometimes I will have my clients visualize scissors cutting that and releasing that. And it adds a whole other layer to the release that happens and takes place.
And I think it's helping me understand some of those experiences with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Because me deciding not to play soccer, that is a big marker in my path as a child. Yeah. Because my path forward could have looked so different if I had continued to play. And to me, it was just the experience. I didn't understand the emotion that it could have caused. Yeah. And so going through this and being able to connect some of those experiences with the actual emotions that came out of it almost creates a level of peace around all of it and a little more compassion for myself and for other people who may have been a part of that too. Because who knows what emotions they have connected to the different things that I was a part of too.
Exactly. And I think it helps as you're starting to rewrite narratives, because you do probably have one narrative attached to this experience that has now, you know, led you to where you are. But when you can go back to that situation and see it from a different lens, and you can start to rewrite that story and that narrative about that situation, yep. It impacts your identity of who you are today.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being called a quitter and like that stuck with me. I was like, I am a quitter. I quit.
Yeah.
No, there's so much more to it than just that.
Yeah. And is that the ultimate truth?
No.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm very much enjoying this.
Okay. Did we release that one? I feel like we got into conversation. So I'm like, did we swipe that one or no?
I don't think we swiped that one.
Okay. I was like, we're going to swipe it anyway, just to make sure.
Sometimes just double it up.
Sometimes I do that because I'm like, it's not going to hurt anything. I think I did that 4 times. So did we release the trapped emotion of rejection at age 12? Yes. Okay. So we'll do one more. Okay. So is there another trapped emotion that can be released from Stephanie's heart wall now? Yes. Okay. Is this emotion in column A? Yes. Is it common? Yes. Is it in column A? It's in column B. Is it odd? Yes. Is it one? Yes. So it's in B1. Is it effort unreceived? It is heartache is the next one that comes up. Okay. All right. Do we need to know more? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 20? No. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 30? Yes. Was this emotion trapped before the age of 25? No. So 25, 26, 27, 28. Let me see. All right. Can we release that one?
Yes, please.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Did we release the heart wall emotion of heartache at age 28? Yes.
I have a ringing in my ears.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to be hearing right now?
I think it's the acceptance that heartache is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's okay.
So you had never had emotion code done before today. Is that correct?
That's correct. All
right. Very first experience. Mm-hmm. And we just released 12 emotions from your heart wall. How do you feel after going through that experience?
Similar to the SRT, I feel lighter. I can feel some things really kind of all over my body. Some of it's in my back and some of it's in my chest, but it does feel lighter. And I do feel like it cracked open some things in me that have been there for a long time and just needed a little bit of space. And honestly, I'm hopeful. I really am, because I think I've had so many conversations lately about the wall that I have built up around my heart and how big it is. And how over the last especially 5+ years, I've done a really great job of building it up and protecting and keeping things out, that it's no longer serving me.
Yeah.
And so to be able to go through this process and start removing those different layers will hopefully open me up to receive and give more than I've been able to up to this point.
So beautiful. So powerful. As you were going through that, the word enlightened came to mind. just the enlightenment that comes from an experience like this, and to see some of the things that you're still holding on to that, because sometimes I think we go through and we're like, oh, I thought I processed this. I thought I went through this. And just to see that there's like another layer there. And to just, it's always so fascinating to me, the things that come to mind. And I do think it's those automatic things that come up as we're going through, and you hear the emotion and the age, that's the thing that needs to be released. That is the thing that's, you know, and we could explore some of those things even further within coaching, but to see it come to surface and then to release it and let it go, I think is so powerful.
Do you cleanse your energy after doing work like this? Do you feel like you get any kind of transference through conversations like this?
I don't. I feel pretty good about kind of my space. Mm-hmm. The only place it really bleeds over is within my family. So, you know, and it is, it's like when my kids are feeling certain things, then I feel those. But when other people are feeling things, as we were going through, like I could feel the hopelessness. And that was probably just a very small remnant of what it is that you were feeling. So I do have those experiences where I feel something come up as we're in it, but it's not something that I feel stays with me. And I'm pretty good about getting outside and grounding or just having space to myself. So
beautiful work. And I'm super grateful again for the time and being able to see your gifts in action.
Yes. We got one more and I'm excited for that one.
I am too.
I'm excited for all of them. I just think it's so cool that these tools exist and that I was introduced to them and that I now get to use them in my coaching and to help other women and to be able to just make a small impact in somebody else's life.
Couldn't agree more. You're doing what you're supposed to do. There's no question.
Yeah. When coaching came to me, I didn't even know what is coaching? I don't know what that is. Being introduced to it and these tools really was at a time that I felt lost and I didn't know what direction my life was going in. That was more career-wise at that time. But just not knowing and then just following the breadcrumbs. And like I do right now, it is such a strong knowing that this is where I'm meant to be at this place and this time. And it will last as long as it's meant to last.
Yeah. Well, keep going because it's pure magic and I love it.
Thank you. Love our conversations.
Me too. Me too. And I'm like, can we just like stay on the rest of the day? Let's do all of the, let's do the whole heart wall.
Right. Oh, you might be drained.
I know. I'm like, I'm already physically not in my peak. And I'm like, let's just tear down some emotions too. No, it's so great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So 1, 2, yeah, 3. Yeah. That was 12. That's awesome.
I love it. It was exactly what it was supposed to be.
More to come. All right. I'm going to enjoy 45 minutes of silence before I leave. I'm going to go sit out and read.
I love that. Enjoy.
Thanks. You too.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, my friends. So now that I've had a chance to sit with this experience and reflect on it a bit, there were really three things that stood out to me. First one is really centered around how we can tie emotions to experiences. And I mentioned this a little bit in the episode itself, and maybe it's just me, but especially with experiences from my past, I don't necessarily associate different emotions that could have been hard-coded from those experiences. So in my brain, those experiences, those choices, those stories are just that. They are stories. They are experiences. Not that those experiences also created these emotions that got stuck. And so going through this experience allows me a different lens to look back on some of those experiences in my life and give myself a little bit of grace and a little bit of compassion for the different emotions that stemmed from those experiences. And part of the processing of any experience or any emotion, I think, is acknowledging that it exists And I think up to this point, I didn't even acknowledge the emotions that were connected to the different experiences I've had. So that was one of the big takeaways that I had, was just truly how impactful those emotions can be from the experiences, but then how we may not necessarily identify them. The second piece is one that I think I knew surface level, but it was a nice reminder through this experience, is that emotions don't just get stuck from traumatic experiences. Just everyday experiences have emotions that get connected to them, and they can get stuck if we don't work through them and we don't process them. And I think I knew that to some degree, but then going through this experience and having the emotion code performed by Miranda, there were some instances that popped out that I'm like, to me, this feels so trivial. How is this something that is stuck in my body? Like, I was fully expecting big traumatic stories to pop out. And sure, the emotions around the birth of my sons definitely is more traumatic on my nervous system, my emotions, and everything else. But some of the other ones, I was like, this is kind of silly that there are emotions that are tied to this. But it was a good reminder that emotions exist outside of trauma, and they're everyday, very real experiences. And so that kind of leads into the third thing that I really took away from the session with Miranda, was just how important it is to stay present. And not just in the fluffy, be present mantra kind of way, but in the fully be present in your physical body kind of way. So if you are experiencing a big emotion or a strong response to something, pay attention to it. And working through that before it gets fully trapped is important. And I think the first step to being able to do that is being present in your physical self in order to identify if an emotion is hitting you in a certain way. And then it's that piece of acknowledging it, appreciating it for what it's doing, and then allowing it to move on. And sometimes we can do that on our own, and sometimes we can't. And that's why people like Miranda are so wonderful, because we all need help. We all need support. We all need people who can help be mirrors in our lives. And that was definitely one of the takeaways from my session with her, was how is my physical body responding in different situations with different people with different emotions? And for me specifically, we obviously worked on my heart wall. How can I continue to release some of those trapped emotions and continue to make space to receive and to give on a much bigger level? I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed doing it. We've got one more that's going to be coming out the last week of August. So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, be kind to yourself. You deserve it.